And for KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki, back with Campus Connection. This is our call-in show. We have a couple school officials here joining us in the studio today. Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter, new school board member Mara Litomsky, and Principal Rick Dormer. Thank you all for coming in today. Welcome.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
The school is a little quieter. The kids have left. The teachers have left, too, I think. And the end of school has come and gone. We survived it, Erica.
I think we did.
Okay.
I think we're still standing. I think that's a good thing for this year.
But it looks like at the same time all the big projects are starting up, and it looks like work is underway outside
Lots.
The elementary school and elsewhere. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, middle Lots. School steps demolished. Yeah.
Yeah, they're down, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just totally destroyed, the middle school and the auditorium steps. So all kinds of fun stuff.
Those are basically just being redone and repoured.
Yeah, they were really unsafe at the state they were in, so I'm glad the district was able to wrangle that together because it's better. It's such a, you know, widely used for the movies and the great performances we have, as well as middle school kids coming in every morning, afternoon. So glad that's getting changed.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably will have an update from Ty, the maintenance director, about all those projects tonight, or no?
Dan's not going to be there tonight, but I will give a brief update on they're actually mobilizing like you just said for the stairs. They've already torn down all the fencing today, this morning, and they're going to work on redoing that, and they're getting ready to do the gearing up to redo the carpets and that whole project inside the building at the elementary, and also gearing up for the loading dock project behind the cafeteria. So it's all coming.
All right.
Yeah.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, the board is scheduled to vote on a budget tonight, and I think there's probably still a lot of uncertainty about how much money you're going to get from the state. Erica, this is your first budget as the superintendent to go through, and Mara, you haven't gone through this process yet, so you're getting a trial by fire here in a real exciting time. Erica, what kind of budget is the board going to be looking at tonight without that state funding number?
Yeah, it's been challenging, to say the least. I think you guys keep the community updated on the goings-on with the legislature, the ongoing drama there, the ongoing no answers, ongoing everything, hearings being canceled. I get updates on that daily, and it's pretty frustrating. So at this point, we did present a budget to the board in May, a very, very rough draft budget based on the best guess, to be honest. We did talk with the state. We said, how should we move forward? What should we use? And they said they would recommend using the base student allocation with the $50 increase, which is $58.80, was. And, you know, counting out some things like House Bill 278, the one-time funding, which we already kind of let that go long ago, to be honest. And, you know, if it comes through with that amount of funding, we have a budget that's can very much sustain that. With the funding from the borough being the same, that was a great thing for us too, to be able to depend on that. We still have a lot of unknowns with a healthy living grant that Ginger Evans has been funded out of. That's roughly $100,000 a year, which we're trying to, you know, do we budget it into our general fund? Do we try to wait? So it's been frustrating, to say the least. So we're going to move forward at this point with the budget that's basically been presented a few weeks ago to the board, and then we'll just continue to wait and see what happens. It's pretty hard to plan for something that could be anywhere from 25% to 73% reduced. You know, it's mm-hmm. millions of dollars. I don't know how you.
And at this point, you're hiring the teachers that you need to hire mm-hmm. and filling the jobs that are available because the school starts in
yeah,
a couple months
right.
here. So.
Yeah.
I guess you have to make those assumptions at this point, right?
Yeah, at this point, that's where we are. We held off, and really the high school even ended the school year without a schedule because we've tried to put some, I don't want to say put them off, but sort of we've tried to say, well, when do we make the decision to move forward with the positions that we need? We held off hiring this year already when we did come in a little higher student-wise because, you know, you just, it's conservative budgeting in this district, which is why we're in a pretty good position
yep.
Moving forward. So we always look at every single high. We've done that for years since I've been here. So we're going to continue to do that. And so we're sitting in a decent position, but it's just challenging to think about if you're looking at millions of dollars in a reduction in July. You know, where do you go with that?
Student number-wise, you're looking at a small increase?
We are. We're looking at about 442, and we're currently at about 432. So I think we're looking at it being up, which that's a substantial number as well. So we're and that's the trend. So that's also the reason for some of these hires. We had held off, again, kind of looking to see what that was going to look like. But it is, the next few years are looking good, you know, okay, with those numbers. So that feels more comfortable.
So, Rick, have you been able to rough out a schedule then for students?
We actually started and, you know, three quarters of the way, halfway through one just yesterday, because the idea is, and to be honest, probably the key piece is Mrs. Evans in charge of this wonderful grant that's done a lot of good things for healthy living here in the community and the district. And if that were to go away, then she becomes more available and we want her teaching more. She's an amazing teacher. But, I mean, one additional teacher offsets the entire high school schedule. You know, it's just so tight, you know, getting kids and trying to get each kid the best opportunity, the classes and the electives they need to be prepared for college or the workplace or the military, whatever. So we've been holding off. That's been the one piece, as well as we're still in the interview process. We need a Spanish teacher. We need a language arts. So we're in the interview process with that, and that's moving along, but we've really been trying to hold off. So the schedule's coming. We asked all the students, if parents didn't see that, we asked the students just to do, and this is what they do in really large schools, is you just write down the classes you want to take and that you need, and then in a big school, a computer might make the schedule here. It'll be the ever-competent Mrs. Etcher, as well as myself, will be kind of helping her out. So again, frustrating that based on the legislature, Mrs. Etcher herself is going to be doing more work than she typically would. Yeah. That frustrates me quite a bit, but at the same time, kind of powerless, and we're going to do the best we can for our kids.
And so when might students know what their schedule looks like for next year?
We'll see you in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be that late. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Mara, your thoughts on this budget process?
Well, it's very frustrating not knowing what we will be receiving from the state, especially when it's part of Alaska's constitution that they fully fund schools. But I think that the district is in a healthy position looking at the fiscal year 16 budget. We are still able to keep activities. We're still able to keep all of our direct student teaching to those students. So we're not having to cut into those areas because we are in such a healthy place.
Are there programs that look like they're going to have to be cut based on your assumptions right now or reductions?
Well, we're not looking to cut whole programs at this point. I mean, you know, again, if you're looking at a 70% reduction, right, yeah, I would say that there would be huge, huge issues that we would be dealing with. We have really tried to look at paring back everywhere, including in activities, but not, you know, hacking out whole programs at this point. And we're hopeful not to do that. You know, we don't want to hack out music. We don't want to, you know, lose PE. We don't want to lose an entire, you know, activity that way, or art, those kind of things that usually are typically the first things to go. At this point, we're looking at, you know, reductions and consolidating that way. But, yeah, if we're faced with something ridiculous, it would be bad. Yeah. It would be huge. But it's so ludicrous that it's just almost not worth the effort to actually put together some sort of budget that's reduced by $3 million or something. I mean, it's such an exercise in futility. It can't happen.
Okay.
It's just too ludicrous.
Okay.
Activity travel, we've talked about, you know, we're going to try to minimize that next year. We've cut the activities budget down, you know, down a little bit, not cutting anything out, but just trying to reduce, you know, some of the trips or some of the costs. I know that we've told all teachers, in my buildings at least, I think district-wide, just to be prepared to have less of a teacher budget, you know, so we'll have the basic supplies, but if you need that, you know, great centrifuge in the science class or a cool new program to run a smart board, you know, more effectively, then we might have to hold off a year or so, just so be prepared for that and plan ahead. So we're trying to trim back at least in the early stages.
Yeah, I think everybody was prepared for that. And I guess the other thing, too, is just, you know, publicly to acknowledge the issues that are facing the ferry system. Yeah. That's we haven't even factored that whole thing in. I mean, at this point, there are lots of things that have been based on that as far as planning for activities and even staff travel and training, that sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know where that's going to go either if that really continues down that path and is shut down July 2nd.
Of course, there is that new independent ferry service that's supposed to be starting up this weekend, as far as I know it is. Is that something that's factored into activities? High school and middle school teams could go to Prince of Wales and wrangle on that. And I know that's been an option in the past when the IFA was operating. Is that something that's a possibility?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, we canceled a couple middle school trips this year because just weather on that one day or those 2 days when, you know, volleyball or basketball was going. And so that was mostly middle school travel. And I know for high school there have been a couple times when it would have been nice to do a breakaway type back, but weather, and so kids had to miss more school. So we're hoping it'll remedy that a little bit. I don't think it's a huge factor. We've always been able to get to Wrangell pretty quickly. It'd be nice to get to over to Prince of Wales and play some of those teams a little bit more. But in the end of the day, I think it won't be a huge factor in the cost or changes in the athletic travel.
Mm-hmm. You do have a couple of new hires to approve as a board, and three of them are in the elementary school, one in the high school. Erica or Rick, could you address either of those?
You want to address your life science?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, the great Joni Johnson, retiring from the school district. And so we hired in Alice Cumps, who has been an aide for us for several years. You know, has a couple kids in the district, wonderful family, big soccer fan, like, you know, Mr. Bicknicki and myself. So that's, I mean, that was it right there. But, no, she's so intelligent, such a great science teacher. I did her student teaching with Joni Johnson as well as Ms. Day in the middle school. So really we'll minimize the transition, the effect on the kids and that. So we're excited to have her. She's definitely teaching. If you're a sophomore next year, she'll be your biology teacher for sure. She'll pick up those electives. We do, you know, it sets us back a little. We won't offer advanced placement biology for a year because that takes some special training, and we hope to get her that soon. You know, something Mrs. Johnson had to pick up on her own along the way. So, you know, anytime you hire somebody new, she won't have quite as many electives, but same time, it's so great. She knows the kids, knows the community, really knew the teachers and the curriculum. So it's a good addition to the high school and the middle school.
Yeah, it's exciting to have, and which is the similar for the three hires in the elementary school. I think Petersburg does a great job of growing their own. I don't know how to say that in a politically correct way or whatever, but I think this community has and this district has always looked to hire people who obviously are well qualified, but also have a real vested interest in the community and certainly understand Southeast and have a really And are vested in the community. I think it's a huge, huge factor. So, three new hires in the elementary that are all from Petersburg. So Heather Kahn is teaching fourth grade, and she has been in and out of the district before, and actually was doing her internship to become a principal this year as well, which, you know, could come in handy. I don't know. You never know what jobs you end up doing. Anyway, so we're excited to have her and excited to have Mary Midkiff returning to the elementary. She taught first grade here before and is coming back to us, and that's exciting. She's fabulous. She just left for a few years to raise her children while they were young. And then Lisa Schrammick, who's returning to Petersburg. She left the community to actually, because of jobs, you know, went to get some other teaching experience and then is coming back. So we're really excited about all three of the elementary hires.
And you have a couple more hires after that eventually to do.
I think just one right now, right? We're still looking at language arts.
Language arts, Spanish. We actually do not have any Spanish teachers in the district. So that's obviously something, you know, in foreign language, and that's a program we've started and believe that's relevant to, you know, kids' futures, especially where we live and type of thing. So we didn't want to – we have some actually other language teachers and talk Japanese or Russian, and those would be fun, but we really want to have a solid Spanish program to prepare kids. And, you know, most colleges require 2 years of a foreign language, so we're interviewing for that position.
Yeah, and it's kind of a reconfiguring – Rick could speak to this too, but – kind of a reconfiguring of Debbie Tice's resignation as a sixth grade teacher. So this isn't an addition. It's a reconfiguring because we have some smaller groups coming into sixth grade over the next 3 years, actually. Yeah. So it's not really enough for two full sixth grade teachers. It's like we need somebody to help with language arts in sixth grade, and this person could do that. We need the language, which we don't have enough of that, you know, so it's kind of a reconfiguring. So just
classes coming through that are 30 kids.
Yeah, the middle school. I don't know if you can visualize this, but next year's eighth graders are about 40, mm-hmm. and then next year's seventh graders are in the mid 30s, and after that they're in the 20s, and 20s. So the middle school here in a few years is going to continue to shrink, and then that'll travel on way up. But then again, we've had a couple of big kindergarten, and I know the current second grade class is very large, and so mm-hmm. there's some big classes coming through, which is great. We just got a little bit of a lull there, so when you know having this opportunity, you know, as Ms. Tyson would on, Mr. Johnson, to kind of reconfigure, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mara, we don't want to forget you, get you involved in the conversation. You, like these hires and going to approve them?
Oh.
The rest of the board?
I foresee approving them,
okay.
Yes.
Right.
They sound like they're very qualified, and I know they're very active in the community already and in the schools, so they'll be great.
All right. Reminder, if you're out there listening in Radio Land, 772-3808 is our phone number. If you have a question, we will try to address it, put you on the air. You're welcome to ask. And we're going to go through the rest of the agenda. We think we've covered a lot of the big things. There's a slew of board policies for the board to address tonight, and it looks like these are have been updated to comply with state law in the past few years. Erica, you've got a lot lined up here.
Yeah, it looks like, from my understanding, that the last few years there's a kind of a policy review cycle, but I think it's gotten put off just for whatever sorts of reasons. Could be kind of turnover in boards and just, you know, other issues that have come up. And nothing in the district that hasn't been followed, but as far as officially updating some of these things, it just needed to be done. So there's actually quite a few that are going to be coming through this month and I think in August and probably in September as well. So a couple of the board members and myself met a few weeks ago, went through. A lot of these are editorial changes. For example, I don't even know. Looking at things like the standardized testing one, for example. The high school qualifying exam was repealed, so any policy that has that wording in it has to be, you know, updated. So it's a lot of those kinds of things, which is why there's so many altogether at one time. So just or the concussion in student athletics. That has actually been updated, actually created in the district here a couple of years ago when the requirements came out. So we are following the policy, but it isn't officially updated in the manual. So it's that kind of thing that's being done.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, and also we should mention, we should talk a little bit about the grades and the changes at the high school, mm-hmm. middle school, and Rick, maybe you can address. This is something that's been ongoing in discussion. I think you looked into it last year and are trying to set these dates when you will make the changes happen, like plus and minus grades and determining the salutatorian and valedictorian based on the weighted 5.0 grade scale. Can you give us an update? When do all those things happen? Is that coming up soon?
Or? It is, yeah. Okay. Our goal is to obviously begin the 2015-2016 school year with those in. Again, it's administrative regulation, so it's not a change to board policy. So it would be more relevant. It would be in our student handbooks and just notifying kids ahead of time, as well as teachers grading, letting them know when they begin a chemistry class. You know, you could get a B+ as opposed to just getting A's, B, C, D, or lower. So we want to start the year with it. Again, we haven't moved a lot on it. We've just been so busy, wrapping up the school year and saying good luck to our graduates. But we looked into getting some student input on it, and to be honest, there was very little. We have some from the fall when we kind of rehashed things. We've had a little bit of parent input. We're still hoping to reach out to parents a little bit and just get some basic guiding principles. But most people have been pretty supportive of the changes, and we expect that. And things like the determination of the weighted grades and using the plus and minus, that kind of stuff. Obviously, a lot of this stuff is probably going to eventually, when it's all said and done, not really be effective except with the incoming freshmen. So kids that are in high school, we're not going to throw them a curveball in the middle of their high school career because that'll just mess things up. So we're hoping to start with that incoming class of freshmen and then just make it a standard of what we do. Again, just more accurate grading, more competitive, grading for kids that really push themselves with AP classes. And again, a little bit of just cleaning things up of, making sure that the AR there actually says what we've been doing as far as, kids withdrawing from classes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. But it's something the incoming freshmen need to be thinking about.
Yes.
And as they think about what classes am I going to take for my 4 years, and is an AP class going to be among them?
Yes,
eventually.
Right. So, yeah, and we've added that AP Euro History now, so they have four opportunities for an AP class.
So it's history, English, math and what am I missing?
And then AP Bio will be back, we're hoping, by next year. So we've always offered that and hope to continue that. Yeah. So we get one in each of the four core areas, which has been a goal for a while.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And those are mostly offered to seniors and juniors anyway.
Although AP European History is going out as a sophomore.
Okay.
Available for sophomores, and we've bumped the social studies now, so kids, knowing that Alaska Performance Scholarship for a couple years has asked kids to have 4 years of social studies, our graduation requirements only require three, so we've been filling it with electives, and this will be just another elective, and we're now opening up where a lot of freshmen will be taking world history, which is typically a sophomore class, so kind of reshuffling, knowing that we really want our kids, we want every kid to be available, you know, the Alaska Performance Scholarship, and to achieve that higher level, and so if we can kind of make that process easier over the 4 years, that's what we're trying to do by shuffling the soul study stuff around. So it's all in all, it's really great. Just keeps allowing our kids to keep achieving. And if you were at the graduation ceremony, you saw lots of kids just keep, you know, knocking the ball out of the park. It's great.
Yeah, that was a fun ceremony and great support from the community with all the scholarship money and fun speeches to listen to as well. So the kids did great, and it was fun to listen to. What else are we missing from tonight's meeting agenda? Should we mention any upcoming important dates? It's kind of a quiet time of year for the district, but the school board itself won't have a regular meeting in July. Their next one will be in August. It looks like the 11th.
Yep, it'll be the 11th, and then there is a financial audit that takes place the week before the board meeting, so that's always a big deal for Karen Quitzland, and she puts a lot of work in before and during and after, and always does well. We always come through with great, great audits. And then just really looking towards August as far as boot camps and work days and in-service and hopefully getting up and going soon.
It's not that far away, believe it or not, especially for kids on cross-country and volleyball.
That's right. Start up fast. Always a good reminder, too, just people listening in, the district office is open all summer. So we sure encourage the kids to get out and relax, enjoy the sun, as teachers as well. But as things come up, remember that people can always come in or call the district office, and they can usually get hold of people that need to be in touch. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mara, anything from the board standpoint we should address?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we'll definitely be on our toes and waiting to hear about that budget and whether we need to hold any work sessions over the summer if that needs to happen. Otherwise, we'll be reconvening in August, getting ready for the start of the school year.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. You can hear the school board meeting broadcast live at 7 o'clock tonight. And it's down in Borough Assembly Chambers and broadcast here.